Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
I'm Laura.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Coda.
I'm Laura.
And we are the Triad Moms on the Mic.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Triad Moms on the Mic, the official podcast of Triad Moms on Main. For more information about the show and all things parenting, make sure to check out the T-Mom website at www.triadmomsonmain.com. Triad Moms on Main has daily blogs and a directory for practically everything. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter while you're there and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss a thing. Hi, everyone. It's Kelly, and I'm here with Laura, Laura, and Coda, and we are drunk at noon on a Thursday. No,
Thirsty
we're not.
Thursday.
We're not. We're not drunk. But we are recording this from Broad Branch Distillery in downtown Winston-Salem, home of what I think is probably the best rye whiskey in the entire United States, Rye Fidelity, as well as some other fine spirits. We're right next door to Sunshine, so we're enjoying some sunshines today, but we did get bottles of liquor to take home and enjoy later. So, third in our series of Get to Know You, I'm on the hot seat. Whoop, whoop. So, if you've seen the movie Beaches, Bette Midler at one point says, "Enough about me, what do you think of me?" So, one of my favorite lines. So, let's go. What you got? Ask me anything.
Ask you anything.
Yeah.
I think we need to start with your two truths and a lie.
Okay.
Ooh. Because you confessed that you had already come up with one.
I did.
You have planned.
I did. I was thinking about it because I've had kind of a weird life. So I was trying to come up with two truths and a lie that might be believable and also unbelievable. So here they are. Number one. I gave a tour of a cruise ship to Bill Gates. Number two, I rode a camel in the Australian outback and later that night ate camel, but not the same one. And number three, I was an extra on the hit television show for one episode of Dawson's Creek.
These are so good.
I know.
Okay, so wasn't Dawson's Creek filmed in North Carolina?
It was.
Okay.
I believe that.
So that's believable.
If that's true, I want to hear
Wait,
so much
but
more
also,
about that.
Are there camels in Australia?
There are.
Are there what?
Camels in Australia.
That's a good question.
Oh. Like,
good catch there.
Mm-hmm. And a tour on a...
Of a cruise ship to Bill Gates. Me, Bill, his sailor's hat, and a cruise ship.
Just the two of you?
No, there were some other people.
More people, okay.
I'm going to say the camel is a lie.
I think the camel's a lie.
I'm going with the cruise ship.
I did, in fact, give Bill Gates a tour of a cruise ship.
That's awesome.
Number one. I did, in fact... ride a camel in the Australian desert.
We are the worst. We know nothing
I
about
did
you.
Not serve as an extra.
And that's
on...
the most believable one.
No!
That was Laura. So hopeful.
I was.
That you had
I know.
Met
I didn't even watch it.
I didn't even watch Dawson's Creek.
Wait, so how did you, work on a cruise ship? How did that come about?
So at one point in my life, and I've had so many jobs and so many careers, but at one point in my life, I was a meeting and event planner.
Okay.
And I worked on a program for Computer Associates, who did a big product launch in New Orleans. And it was during Jazz Festival, so a lot of the hotels were booked. So we used 4 cruise ships as floating hotels.
Wow.
And Bill Gates was that. So I was in, like, second in command, not literally of the cruise ship, but like of the travel people. And Bill Gates was the keynote speaker. So he wanted to see a ship. So I took him around. It was fun. He was super nice. And it was cool. And he really did wear little sailor's hat.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Did you take a photo? I mean, I believe you, but like, did you get
a
photo?
No, because that would have been
pushy or like
not professional.
Gotcha.
And I'm super professional.
We know it.
So
we know it.
So yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
So
and
that
I also
camels though in Australia.
I was still a travel director. I was working on a program. I spent 3 weeks in Australia, primarily in the outback. And on our days off, we would drink Victoria Bitters beer and ride camels. I guess. No, we
That's
only rode
awesome.
Camels one time, but it was awesome. Yeah.
That's
it was
really
very
Australia's
cool.
on my bucket list. So
it was, I would highly recommend
that's
it.
That's really cool.
So
I didn't realize there were camels in Australia.
Yeah, I know.
I
wouldn't either. So yeah. You've been a lot of places.
I have been a lot of places. And I've done
how many
things.
Continents have you been to?
Oh my God. I don't know. But I did. Well, I guess. North America, South America. I've not been to Africa. That's on my bucket list. Europe, Australia. I've not been to Asia.
Well, you're over halfway there. That's pretty awesome.
Not Antarctica. That's not my jam.
No.
So I'm not
going to
go there. But I did count, because we moved a lot when I was a kid. We moved like every 2 years.
You were a military kid, right?
No, my dad was in the oil field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So until I was, in middle school. And then we still moved because I guess my parents were used to it by then, so we just kept going.
You got bored.
Between the age, when I was born and I was 21 and moved back to North Carolina, we moved like 22 times.
Wow.
I counted them the other day. I was like, that's a lot of moving. And sometimes it was within a city. Like, we moved within Winston-Salem like 4 times or something.
So why back here? To land on
So after I graduated high school in California, I met my husband. We decided to move to Wisconsin, long story, which I also decided that like my title of my autobiography would be It's a Long Story. But we moved to Wisconsin. It was terrible. I got really depressed. We went through a bunch of jobs in a very short amount of time. I lost my mind. I said, I gotta go. My parents had moved to Dallas by then. And so I came the closest I knew to home, which was here. And my godmother lived here. And they took me in and found me a job and gave me a place to live until things settled down. And then Sean, eventually followed back here. And we've been back here. That was 93, so whatever that is, 27 years. It's almost 30 years. So this is home, for sure.
So is staying in one place for that long, is that like your form of rebellion against your childhood?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You wanted a place.
Yeah. I mean, my kids have gone to the same school with the same people their entire lives. And, we're looking at moving right now, not like 4 miles from our house. But that has been the reticence for me. I don't want them to change schools. I don't want them to leave. That's roots are really important to me. And I think my family gave, my family was very close and we stuck together because a lot of times that's all we had because we were always, moving and shaking. But it's really important. I get sentimentally attached to places now. Mm-hmm. I think because we move so much. Yeah. Which wasn't always a bad thing. I mean, it taught me to be like super resilient and I make friends easily. And so it's not always a bad thing, but it's definitely something I'm reticent to.
to do.
No. So out of all the places you've lived besides here, because clearly this is where you love, what was your favorite city or state?
So we lived in the East Bay in California. And it's where I finished out my last 2 years of high school, met my husband. We lived there for a couple years before we moved to Wisconsin. And living there exposed me to a lot of different people and cultures and ideas in a fabulous way. I mean, just an amazing way. You know, my friends and I would get on the BART and go to Berkeley or, you know, go into the city, and just to have those experiences, you know, see concerts and what, it was amazing and eye-opening. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of people don't get to experience, or they're afraid to experience.
Yes.
Travel.
Yes.
And kind of immersing themselves in difference. And I think it's one of the most fabulous things about our country is that it's different. Coast to coast, place
yes.
to place, there are a lot of different people. And the more people you meet, the better you are for it, I think. So, yeah, definitely, if I could afford it, I might go back.
Yeah?
No, probably not. But
a little bit cheaper than around. I mean, a little bit more expensive than around.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit
more expensive.
So do you travel a lot with your kids? Like, have they...
We go to the beach. We go to the mountains sometimes. not as much as I would like. Travel with a family of five is kind of cost
yes.
prohibitive.
Yeah.
So, you know, I took my daughter, my oldest daughter, to New York City a couple of times. And so we've done stuff. We've all been to Washington, D.C., but not the way that I want.
Right.
So we will. We'll get there. Eventually. But I want them to be open to it. And if there's an opportunity for them to go somewhere,
yeah.
then, you know, I want them to go for sure.
Have you encouraged your oldest to travel abroad once all of this is
once
over?
All this? Yeah, absolutely. And I hope she does. I mean, I think that she's a lot like me in that way, that she
wants
appreciates different things in different places. And although I have to tell a funny story on her. I took her to New York City for her 16th birthday. She's a huge musical theater nut, as am I. And we went, and I was like, Katie, this is amazing. You know, we stayed right at Times Square. We walked everywhere, and I was like, this is amazing. And I'm taking pictures and stuff, and she's like, oh, my God, please don't take a picture of the guy in the Elmo suit. Please, that's so embarrassing. And I'm like, he's wearing a friggin' Elmo suit. He wants you to take his picture, right? We went to Tavern on the Green. You know, I'm like stopping at hot dog stands. She's like, oh my God, is that hygienic? I'm like, probably not, you know. But I said, all right, babe, you know, we're going to a show tonight. Where do you want to go to dinner? And we're in frickin' New York City, right? I mean, it's like, and I am a foodie, so I'm so excited. She went to she wanted to go to Olive Garden. Now, a little bit in her defense. She was 16. She had never been to Olive Garden before.
Aww. Okay.
Okay.
And there is one in Times Square, and she got really excited about it because she had heard about the breadsticks
Italy.
Of the South. I know.
Is it really her fault she made it to 16 and hadn't been to an Olive Garden?
That's true.
Well, yes.
Or is that just great parenting?
That's just great parenting. That's exactly right. So, long story short, yes, I want them to go places and experience things, and I absolutely encourage them to do that. And Katie is very much, you know, she's almost 20, and she's away at school, and she's very much go and do and see. My youngest is 10, and he just interrupted this podcast with a phone call to let me know that the power went out at home. And I don't think he'll ever leave home. I mean, he's just...
He did go to the neighbor's
So anyway, very different kids for sure. And then I have a middle daughter too, who is she's something.
I just squeezed in her in there though. I feel that as a middle child, talking about your oldest. I have a middle child too, sorry.
Well, and she of and I don't want my kids to listen to this because I feel like they're going to be like, see, I told you, Mom likes you the best. But my middle daughter is just a force. I mean, she is just a, she is a strong, incredibly smart. And I, you know, lots of people make the joke, oh, I can't handle my kids' schoolwork. They're smarter than me. My kid really is smarter than me.
Yeah.
I mean, she really is smarter than me. She's brilliant. When she was in third grade, her teacher got her a shirt that said, I'm going to change the world. And for sure, she's going to change the world.
Yeah.
If she's not in jail. One or the other.
But she's the one who's a vegetarian in a family of foodies, right?
Yes.
So throwing you for all sorts of loops.
Yes. Yeah, she is. And she just decided that. You know, she decided she was going gluten-free. And then she decided she was going to be a vegetarian. If she decides something, by God, she's going to do it. And get out of her way. So she's
a force to be reckoned with.
She's a force. They are all very interesting people.
How do they get along? Well,
yeah, pretty well. I mean, we don't have quiet people in my house. We don't have anyone that sits back and kind of lets the other ones rule.
Yeah.
So they, you know.
Jen Hatmaker would call that a spicy family.
We are spicy. Yes. we are spicy. And I like it that way. I mean, I think it's fun. It's interesting. It's never boring at my house.
Do you feel like you parent them differently?
In a spicy way?
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Just because they're all so different.
You have to. I mean, you can't, in any family, you can't have the same expectations or, I mean, you know, we have general expectations in my house. Don't be an asshole. I mean, that's like rule number one. You know, you can have bad days and you can be in a mood and you can do all this, but that doesn't excuse being an asshole. So that's number one. But past that, you know, I don't expect my son to be the leader of the nerd herd like my daughter is, and I don't expect her to be theatrical like my other. I mean, I have different expectations because they're different people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely parent them differently because you have to. People.
So you have a huge age spread with yours too.
I do.
How do you think that affects your parenting?
I feel like so my oldest daughter, like I said, is almost 20. Well, they all change like January, February. So she's 19, 13, and 10. And I feel like in a lot of ways with Katie, my oldest, we got through like all the hard stuff before it happened, even started, because it's just now started with my middle child. And in my experience anyway, starting at about 12, they lose their minds.
That's true. As a middle school teacher, I can vouch for that.
They lose their minds. Because, I mean, they're just trying to figure out who they are and like we call Julia the baby giraffe because she's all just like arms and legs and, you know, their bodies are different and their brains are crazy and their hormones are raging and they're pushing the limits of what they can get away with. And then about 16, 17, they like chill out just a little bit. And now Katie, I mean, every now and again she loses her mind, but she's just a delight. I mean, she's like fun and funny and an interesting person, and I feel like I can relate to her on an adult level. So, you know, like I see Coda and her sweet little baby, and that was wonderful. I loved having babies. But no thanks, because they're so interesting the older they get. And I miss cuddling and snuggling, because nobody wants to cuddle and snuggle with me anymore. But just to see them grow into people, their own people. And I would say, like, to young parents, this is my big piece of advice for the show. Don't identify yourself with your children, because they go away and they're not yours. I mean, they're not who you are. They're a part of you. They're always a part of you, but don't define yourself by being a parent, because at some point they don't need you. And if they don't need you, that means you did your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard not to take that personally sometimes. Like, why is that my kid talking to me? Because you did your job. Mm-hmm. So find other things to do in your life that bring you joy and, you know, help you discover who you are. Because otherwise, one day you're going to be sitting on the couch with a bag of coconut, eating it right out of the bag, and which is a whole other story. long story. And you know, you're going to be crying into your coconut. And ladies, that's not pretty. You don't want to be there.
I'm willing to bet that's why your oldest is such a delight to you, though, because she does not feel the obligation or that she's compelled to meet some sort of need in you because you're happy.
Yeah.
And
I hope so.
And you have your own life. And so she's able to come home and enjoy you because it's not like, oh my gosh, if I don't go home, mom's going to have a breakdown.
Right. So. I hope so. I hope she feels like that. I mean, now sending her away did about give me a breakdown, but
oh, yeah.
Of course it did.
But privately, on the inside, because I don't want her to feel like that. I don't want them to feel like they're responsible for my emotional well-being or my personal fulfillment. Yeah. Because they're not.
Nope.
They're not. I get a lot of joy out of a lot of things. And when I stop getting joy out of them, I stop doing them and I do something else. And that too, I would say that too. I mean, if you're out there doing stuff that doesn't bring you joy anymore, stop doing it. Do something else. You don't have to get locked into a thing for your whole life because, God, that just sounds like drudgery to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stuck being a parent though. Sorry.
You're stuck being a parent.
That's a life or job right there.
All right. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
Well, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but we have some questions from number one fan, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
You kind of mentioned what stage of parenting was your favorite? Did you absolutely love? And she has a note here. You're not absolutely not allowed to say I love it all.
I'll tell you what I didn't love.
Well, that's fair.
I didn't love the stage where I had to help my children brush their teeth. Because that is the number one biggest pain in the ass thing. I will change a diaper. I will clean up puke. I will do anything in lieu of helping a kid brush their teeth. The worst. The worst. Everyone here is nodding. I just want everybody out there listening to know. Everyone's nodding. Brushing teeth is terrible. I did love the baby stuff because I love babies. I mean, they're fun. They're cute. They're squishy. I like to hold them. I like the grown-up stage where they're smart and they can talk to me. I have been, not this year because of, you know, stuff, but for the past 4 or 5 years, I was a preschool teacher. And 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, they're friggin' awesome. Aww. I mean, they are so cool, and they bring me so much joy for 3 hours a day. And they're just fun and funny and smart and clever and loving. I mean, they're kind of the best of both worlds in a lot of ways. So I guess if I had to, I would say 3- and 4-year-olds, they're amazing. Amazing. Never again.
Never again. I'm glad it's in my past. It was fun while it lasted. What makes you smile just thinking about it?
Katie Hines acting a fool. She is so creative and so, actually any of my kids, because they all act a fool. And they just have, and I like to think this is because of me, they just have no qualms about laughing at themselves. And they're just goofballs. And
I wonder where they get that.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's fun. They're fun to be around. And sometimes I embarrass them and I do stuff, but I don't care. They get over it. My husband is super funny. We laugh a lot in my house. So just thinking about acting a fool makes me smile. Yeah.
I'm going to ask what I asked Laura a few weeks ago. If you could spend a day with anyone dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, my dad. Yeah, my dad. I mean, it made me start crying just thinking about it. My dad's been gone 17 years. And yeah, hands down, my dad. He was, my parents, and my mother still is amazing, but my parents were, they were really, really hard-working people, and they worked hard, and they played hard, and my dad could tell a story like, I mean, no one, and he was this, you know, Texas, he always said, American by birth, Texan by the grace of God, you know, so, and that kind of like, that was just the way, he was a big guy, kind of an imposing figure, but smart and warm and brave and hardworking and loving and funny and a good storyteller, and I would give just about anything to sit on a park bench next to my dad for an hour, yeah, for sure. Okay.
You got a funny one. I was going to ask another. Well, you could make it. Knowing Kelly, you'll make it funny. Stephanie asked, in this ever-changing world, it's weird to call her Stephanie. Sorry, everyone. This is my mother-in-law, and I do not call her Stephanie.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. In this ever-changing world, what's one thing you hope will never change? It's a tough one.
So I have the good fortune. This is a long answer.
It's a long story.
I have the good fortune of having and of working with and having worked for people who serve their community, and I think that that is inspiring. I think as parents, that's. We are called to serve as an example for our children. I am 100% behind mandatory compulsory service for teenagers. I think that's something that should be part of everyone's life. And there are so many opportunities to do that in our community. So I hope that there are always people who are willing to go out and serve others, and mentor, and that's something else, mentor people who want to have that experience. My priest said this one time, everyone should have a mentor and mentor someone at all times. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it changes as you evolve and you grow, but to have someone that you can go to, and I have a couple of people in my life right now and throughout my life who mentored me through something or through a time in my life. And it has been the most valuable thing to me as a human being. And a lot of that was, this is how you can serve other people. So I hope that people always feel called to go out and help other people. You know, there's a... my friend Yvette, shout out Yvette, gave me a coffee mug one time. It's my favorite coffee mug, and it's a verse from Hebrews, and it's, you know, made readable. It says, inspire others to inspire others. And I mean, that's like that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do good things so you show and you live and you lead by example so other people will do good things, and then they will inspire other people to do good things. I mean, there is so much good in this world, and at a time where we seem so focused on all the negative things that are happening, There is a lot of good work going on out there. So go do good things.
What is your comfort food? If you've had a crappy day and you just want to veg in front of the TV.
Girl, I will eat anything. I don't veg in front of the TV. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Did you get a book? I feel like you're a reader, right?
I do. I love to read. I'm not a vegging person.
Yeah.
I have a hard time vegging. Although I will say, and I mentioned this earlier to the guys here at Broad Branch, that for the past several years, once a week from like May to September, I host a cocktail party on my back porch. And that hasn't been happening this year. But that's when I veg. If you put a beverage in my hand and put me outside and put on some Avett Brothers, I'm going to veg. So is whiskey a comfort food?
For sure.
Okay, then whiskey.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay, then what do you just do when you're having a bad day?
Yeah, I sit outside on my porch. I turn on my favorite music. The Avett Brothers. I mean, it's like the soundtrack to our house. You know, we play it in the house all the time. And it just makes me feel, it makes me feel close to my family.
Like you're home.
Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm home. So.
Have you done any of those, like, trips with the Avett Brothers, like the cruises?
Oh, my God, I wish. Hey, you guys, if you're listening out there, boys, I feel like we could be best friends. I feel like the Avett Brothers and I, and also Dave Grohl, and I would be best friends. So, Dave, if you're listening to this podcast, give me a call. Give me a call. No, I haven't. But we did get to go to the drive-in concert at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Okay, fine.
That they just had. And it was the closest I have felt to normal in a long time. And it was awesome. So I was really grateful for that opportunity. But, yeah, I'd love to go on a trip with them. Just them. Nobody else.
Not them and, like, all their fans. Just them.
No, just okay. Them. And me. We can hang out.
Most embarrassing moment.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That list is so long. Okay, but here's one. Here's one. Sean and I had not been dating for too long, and we were at his parents' house in the basement. And it was, so Sean is the oldest of four kids, and all of the kids were there. And I think there were several girlfriend, boyfriend people there, and Sean and I. And we're watching a movie, and Sean and I are lying on the ground, and, you know, he's kind of behind me, spooning me a little bit. And I lean back and I say, "Sean, dude, I got a fart." And he whispered back, "Just do it. And I'll say it was me." Oh, because I'm gross and I do it all the time and they expect it from me. So I was like, "All right." So I mean, it wasn't like a, it wasn't one of those. It was like a, thunder from down under. I mean, it was like, bo, 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 bo. He jumped up and yelled, "Kelly, oh my God." And I thought, I was like, "You said that you would say it was you." Anyway, I think I might have started crying. So that was pretty awful. So, but we have now been together 30 years, and I wouldn't even think twice about letting one rip in front of his family. So. Anyway, that was, at the time, it was very embarrassing.
Yes.
Very embarrassing. It is like, that was one of the best things, I mean, not the best things about being a preschool teacher, is, first of all, I always said, preschool, no safer place to fart.
True.
Than preschool, because you can just do whatever, and somebody will say something, you'll be like, "I don't know what that is, that was gross. That's nasty." Anyway, farts are always funny, in my book, anyway. Mm-hmm. And shout out to my friend, Julie Jackson, who's probably listening out there and has a fart story. If anybody wants to call her up, she can tell you.
Oh, boy. Sounds like she's coming on next week. We're starting out with a fart story today.
That's Laura. Trying to get off the hot seat for her time.
No.
Absolutely not. I can't wait to hear this fart story. We didn't talk much about how you met your husband, though.
Oh, this is actually kind of a sweet story.
Oh, yay.
Good.
So I was 16. And I went to work as we actually moved to California because my mom got a job managing a conference center out there for PG&E, which is Pacific Gas and Electric. And it was kind of like a, you know, it was a learning center. So they did training, but they had a dining room and, you know, that sort of stuff. So I started as a waitress, 16 years old. My first day of work, I walked in through like the servery to go to the restroom to put my uniform on after school. And my husband, now husband, was a cook. So he was back behind the line and he turned to the guy, my first day, he turned to the guy next to him and he said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Stop it.
And the manager next to him said, no, you're not. First of all, she's the boss's daughter. And secondly, she's 16 and he was 22 at the time. So long story short,
yeah,
it's a long story. He left the job. We ran into each other. I was 18 by that time at a movie, seeing Jacob's Ladder. He was on a date, actually. Whoa. And And the next day, I got off of work. I walked outside and he was there waiting for me, which was like kind of creepy and stalkery, but also cool. So we went to coffee and, you know, I think I smoked a pack of cigarettes sitting there talking, drinking coffee. And that was it. That's all she wrote.
That's awesome.
So.
You said you randomly ran into each other at the movie. Has he since said that was not so random?
Oh, no, it was totally random.
Okay.
It was very random. And we lived, you know, in a fairly small town in the East Bay, so there was only one movie theater.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was totally random. But, yeah, he's a good man.
How long until you got married after you met when you were, like, rekindled when you were 18?
So we dated for 5 years. And then we got married. And then 5 years later, we had our first child. So we had 10 years together before. Yeah.
Wow.
So he keeps saying, man, I can't wait till all these kids are out of the house. And I'm like, dude, you had 10 years. Have you not had enough of me? I mean, and we have a long way to go, you know, because we have a 10-year-old. So
yeah. It's great that you guys like each other. So when the kids are out of the house, you know.
He truly is my best friend, and he's an incredibly hardworking. And this is like a theme of my life, right? The hard workers. My parents were hard workers. I worked for hard workers. I try to make my kids to be hard workers. And he works hard at his job and with us. I mean, he doesn't just work hard and come home and he's done. I mean, he works hard. Yeah, he works hard at home. So we really appreciate and love him. And I'm excited for our next chapter of life together.
Eventually.
In 8 years. God willing.
If Henry leaves.
Right.
Henry never leaves.
When we might have one back with us by that time, who knows?
So. Yeah. Grandkids at that point.
Oh, shush. Stop.
Sorry.
When I think about, like, my mom was a grandma by the time she was my age. And that's like terrifying, right? Yeah. I mean, I can't be a grandma.
You call them and then give them back.
That's true.
You do like babies.
I do like babies.
So that's the
like
best
babies.
Way to enjoy babies.
Katie, do not get pregnant. Katie Hines
said,
do not get pregnant. I'm not ready for that yet. Anyway, going back to the service thing, I really want to encourage people to go out and get involved in something in this community. And Winston-Salem and the surrounding community has so many opportunities for you to get involved. I work for City with Dwellings, which is an organization that fights to end homelessness and create community in Winston. And we would love to have you come down and help us out. I serve on the board of YMCA Camp Haines, and that provides a service to children that is unparalleled, truly. And there are hundreds of organizations out there that can use your time, talent, and treasure. Mm-hmm. Look them up. And if you don't know where to go, there's even an organization that will tell you where to go. So go visit Love Out Loud, and they can hook you up with an organization that can use your specific talents. And friends, I know we are busy with school and home and kids and work and all of those things, but you have time for what you make time for. So go do something for somebody else. There's no better way to get outside of yourself. So that's my PSA. Oh, yeah. Go to Triad Moms on Main directory. There is a volunteer directory. Thank you, Laura D. Go to Triad Moms on Main and check out the directory on volunteer opportunities as well. Thank
that
you.
That includes stuff for kids, too, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that you
yeah.
can do with your kids, which are often hard to find. So
they are. They are. But there are opportunities out there. So we had a group from Reagan High School just this past week come down to City with Dwellings on the weekend and paint and plant some flowers and do beautification projects. So, yeah, they're out there. You just got to look for them sometimes. All right. Yep. That's all for today. If you have a show idea or just want to chat with us, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at triadmomsonthemic@gmail.com. Send us some questions for Laura D., who will be on the hot seat next time. And make them good and juicy. And if you have any questions about farts, she is prepared to answer them. Don't forget to check out the Triad Moms on My Main website at www.triadmomsonmain.com. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast. Stephanie, I want a full list of questions from you, especially for your daughter-in-law. Stay well, everyone.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.